Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, so you're sitting at the bar, just relaxing, having a drink, when all of a sudden, this stone-cold hottie walks up to you. And they're like, hey, I don't normally do this, but you just have the most amazing body. Would you want to trade with me? And then the big gold medallion that they're wearing just starts glowing a little bit. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
What's their body like?
It's a hottie body.
Is it forever?
I don't know. They're so mysterious. Mm. I think the implication of the medallion is that the process is beginning.
So you may not have a say in the matter.
Well, I mean, you could run away or try to fight back or steal the medallion. I mean, this is based off of a very weird dream I had last night. So,
oh my god!
So the logic behind it is kind of hard to pin down.
Kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
I think I grab at the medallion because either I need to like, if it's happening anyway, I will probably need that medallion to switch back by the end of the third act.
Right. Take the agency over the body swapping.
No, but what you need to do to switch back probably is learn a lesson about how the other person lives.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how horrific this is of a body swap. Because this seems like Prelude. Have you guys ever seen Prelude to a Kiss?
No.
That's what this feels like to me. That's a movie with Alec Baldwin and Meg Ryan as young hotties who love each other and have great sex life. They decide to get married. And right before the wedding, an old man walks up to Meg Ryan and kisses her and forces body swap on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to walk around, and then she's an old man, and then the old man in the hot young body marries Alec Baldwin.
Is that
the whole thing's from Alec Baldwin's POV? So it's very weird.
Is that the source material to the what do you call it? Angel episode where the old man is doing hottie body swaps?
Oh my god!
Maybe it was a play before it was a movie. So I mean, it's possible it was the movie, but it was possibly the play. It's also a weird body swap one because it's like what Colin wants. Where
that's
the
what I was exactly
POV
was saying.
Character is not in the swap,
and
you don't really get any interior of like Meg Ryan is for Meg Ryan. It's a horror movie. Mm-hmm. She's trapped in an old man's body and taken back to a nursing home.
And
that's so scary.
Yeah, and that is proof of concept for my body swap premise right there. So I love it.
I don't know what did you do in your dream, Colin?
Well, wait, hold on. I want more information about the dream. Was the person, was this a woman coming up to you? Was it a man? Like, how much is your body changing? Like, the new body that you're going into, how different is it from yours?
Well, for the sake of the hypothetical, I think, yes, it is also a gender swap. The dream, my perspective was as a woman who is being offered this from a man. Mm. So I was already gender swapped. It technically, dream logic, but then I would be doing another gender swap.
Interesting.
Yes.
And, okay, so it doesn't seem like there's any time to talk to this person. Like, the transformation's going to happen.
I think so. Or maybe you can talk your way, maybe you can talk your way out of it, or at least get more information.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many questions. I think my natural thing would just be to ask some questions. And that may turn this stone cold fox off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They may be trouble. I need somebody who's a little bit more acquiescent.
Yeah.
I think, well, here's the real question. Do you, stay with this person, hang out with this person as you both change so that you can try to hook up with someone else in your body?
I think
Patrick's fantasy is someone else is in control of his body and going and hooking up with someone else while Patrick watches.
Yeah.
How does it always get back to wanting to fuck yourself?
I don't know. It always does, though.
Particularly when I'm doing the hot take. I can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
Colin, is that what you did?
No. It didn't get any further than the premise. I think I woke up, or I just don't recall.
Interesting.
I think in terms of the hot, the dream, I feel like we could interpret for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
In terms of the hot take, I don't know. I mean, if you're being involuntarily swapped, you got to stick like glue to the person who swapped you.
Yeah.
Because
you've got to handcuff yourself to them.
Yeah. They've got your body, which that's a pretty big one. Plus, they have this, they know the secrets of how the swapping happens.
Yeah.
They have the medallion.
Well, maybe they don't. That's the other question is we don't know if this is going to be a body swap where you body swap your soul stay place and your body switch places, or if you're.
Oh,
so
then do you
bodies.
Have the...
Then you might end up with a medallion.
Oh,
and then
true.
Do you have to go to a bar? Do you have to get hot and then go to another bar and then trap someone else? And you just hop from body to body.
I mean, right. And what if you don't have any... what if you don't even have that agency anymore and it's like a being John Malkovich situation and you just became the new John Malkovich?
So you're just backseat?
I mean, either you're just backseat or there is this one entity body hopping forever through time.
Oh, this is that other episode of Angel. It is the one where this STD demon or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. It makes me feel like Angel writers just went to Blockbuster, high concept movies.
Hey, man, you got to do 20 episodes a year. That's a lot.
It's so many. Now, thank goodness, television shows are only 9 episodes long. What did writers do back before this?
That's one day of binge.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's still a lot of characters.
It's almost overwhelming, mixing them up, mashing them up.
Yeah.
Guys, we're doing another SDS All-Stars, but this time we've removed the Marvel characters, or at least not removed them, I guess. The last time we did this, we did all Marvel characters on one side and all SDS All-Stars on the other side. Now we've got two mega lists that are Marvel and SDS all mashed up. We're gonna roll some ships.
I want to say that there's a caveat here.
Please.
In that... we're calling it SDS All Stars. Some of these people are low stars. I'm looking at some of these are
some more infamous than famous.
Right. Yep. But infamous.
Is this just from Kelly's point of view? Or you're saying there's some unshippables on here?
There are definitely there are some unshippables, there are some intentional dead ends on here.
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, with us, we have enough angles of sickening ships individually that one of us will find it horny no matter who it is.
Right. Yes. And I think all of us are equipped to make it work.
Just off the cuff, 19 and 19, Jerry Maguire and Dennis Miller.
Okay,
that's
Colin.
That's not.
What are you calling out,
horrifying.
Patrick? That isn't the horniest thing you ever heard.
Okay, I'm calling out that he's giving away what's on the list.
Oh, that's
true. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry.
All right. So we're gonna roll for these, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Colin, you got some dice.
Yeah.
You want to roll for the first list?
Absolutely. All right. So my first roll.
Oh, I love that one person's rolling for one list and one person's rolling for the other. That's fun.
That's great.
96.
Whoa. Okay.
Whoa. And then I guess I'll roll for the other list.
Great.
32. So 96 is Samantha from Don't Think Twice. And 32 is Bridget Jones.
Ooh.
All right, so who can fill me in on Don't Think Twice? I'm not sure if I'm familiar with this character.
Oh, right. Okay.
So Don't Think Twice is the Mike Birbiglia improv movie.
Oh, yes.
And right. Samantha is Gillian Jacobs' character who stays committed to the craft of improv after Jack gets on SNL.
Yes.
And when we talked about it... Ryan brought up the scene where where she's doing a show all by herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because no one shows up.
No one else shows up. And that he shows up halfway through the scene where she's in a well. Yes. And she's like, no, you don't need to save me. I'm fine down here by myself.
Yes, the well that is performing improv comedy. I believe that was the metaphor.
Yes. And she has to say, everyone kind of is disillusioned with improv, or disillusioned with where they thought they would be through improv, and then she doubles down mm-hmm. and digs deeper into the art of it and believes harder coming out of it.
Gotcha.
So what is her relationship with Bridget Jones like?
I mean, I got to meet in a class that she's teaching, right?
Bridget Jones. Yeah, I think Bridget's taking improv.
Teacher student?
Well, okay. I don't think it has improv, though. Yeah, and you're only a student for 8 weeks.
Okay, I mean, yeah.
A person can't date their improv 101 teacher after?
I think you can, but just speaking as someone whose improv teacher said to them at the end of class, well, we're not teacher and student anymore.
Oof.
I do feel a little there.
Yeah.
That being said, I think, obviously once class is over, the dynamic is gone and you can do whatever the fuck you want and date whoever you want, blah, blah, blah. You're all
okay.
Adults,
how do you feel about sub improv coach? I think this could work.
Okay. Yeah. 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 That works.
So Bridget
has gotten really into improv. She just finished. She's about to start 201. She's sure. Started a practice group.
And then Johnny Meeks couldn't make it 1 week. So. Yep.
And so Sam shows up. Samantha shows
okay.
up.
Okay.
And then, and they have, it's fun. And but Bridget is just it's at Bridget's house. So there's the awkward 5 minutes while everyone's starting to arrive. And so Bridget and Samantha are talking. And then
does Sam leave something at the house before? So she has to come back?
Yes. But not on purpose. She stands away.
No.
She leaves her scarf. And so Bridget brings her scarf to Harold Knight.
Okay.
There we go.
And to give it to Samantha. At first she's like, oh, I don't know if you were at my house. And she's like, yeah, Bridget, of course. You want to go get some drinks at Bird's?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Is Samantha still on a Herald team?
She moved to LA. I don't know where they go get drinks. I mean, I guess I do. From old times where people got drinks in New York. It's just easier for me to get specifics if I'm talking LA.
Right, yes.
Gotcha.
And that's why Bridget is taking improv, because she just moved to town.
Okay.
It's a great, someone at the office was going on about how their improv class has helped them meet new people and really get out of their box. And then Bridget has an internal monologue, maybe I should try this improvised comedy.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she thinks, maybe Bridget thinks that taking this improv class, so first she's like, maybe I'll meet a guy that will help me forget about fucking
Darcy.
What's his name? Yeah. And she meets someone that's not a guy that helps her forget about it. She doesn't realize. And she's like, wow, this person's actually listening to me. And this person's actually like maybe she says something when she hands her the scarf, Sam says something calling back to the conversation that they had at Bridget Jones's house, but while they were waiting, and she's like, oh, you remember that? And she's like, of course I remember. I was like, you know, like, says something like she was listening when she was talking or something like that.
Mm.
And maybe Bridget, like makes some comment about how, like, she appreciates the work on the stage that Sam is doing, like, mm-hmm. that work in and of itself is worth something.
Oh, yeah. And that's like,
ooh, that's good for Sam.
That's exactly what she tells herself. That's, yeah, I love that.
Oh, I love this. They're so, I'm so happy for them.
Me too. Let's roll another ship.
Okay.
All right. Should we shift through, like, Patrick, you do column A one now?
And then Ryan, you want to roll the
perfect
for the second column? Okay, so I got 18, not 19, Colin.
I'm looking at the list. It is also gross.
Yes, it is.
And I got 87.
Ew. I'm sorry. I just looked at the list.
Okay. Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like, Colin, you might have to, you can lead this one.
Yeah. I mean, so, well.
Well, and we'll have to make a decision because number 18 is Sheev Palpatine from Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So we need to figure out when, and I think I wrote Emperor, right?
Yeah. You did.
Yes.
Okay.
You gave him the title.
Right. Well, but is it like, is it during, like, Jedi, or is this during, like, Rise of Skywalker? Like, where, when can in his life?
Can I say that it's possibly when he's, like, in Rise of Skywalker? Because I think that works more for a zombie-ish.
Yes, because the other side is Liv Moore from iZombie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so in Rise of Skywalker, when he's, like, bound to the chair and the, like, specter of himself that is, like, that's definitely his most zombie-like.
Yeah, so how does he meet Liv Moore? And also, you'll have to tell me about Liv Moore.
Well, Liv Moore from iZombie is the, what do you call it? Doctor turned zombie turned city body inspector?
What
do they call those
people?
Coroner. Coroner. I got it.
City body inspector? I need that shirt.
Okay.
CBI.
Oh, okay, she was a doctor, and then she got zombied, and now she's a coroner.
She's the CBI.
She gives her access to brains.
Got it.
Because she can eat them?
Yes, and the the, like, procedural or the conceit of the show, there's a lot going on. It's a good show. But the conceit of the show is when she eats the brains, she gets some of the personality traits of the people whose brain she's eating.
And also gets visions of how they, like, parts of their lives and how they died. So she becomes, like, a, you know, detective helper on the side and is helping
solve. Well, okay, so here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that then Palpatine is going to be trying to, like, use Liv to, like, maybe he captures his, like, clone, whatever, who gave birth to Rey, right? And is like, eat my clone's brains, and then you can tell me what he did with Rey so I can get her back. I feel like Palpatine's going to use
her. But yes, that's good. This is good. This is a good start, though.
Okay.
Because she does that, and then she says, she's like, he's scared. Like, you know, she's like saying like all these human aspects of Palpatine that he maybe has, like, squashed or tried to throw away. And then it helps him remember who he was. I mean, he still is, like, always pretty terrible.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, he is in touch with those dark feelings. It's what makes him powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's true that Star Wars took place in the past, right?
A long time ago.
So what if somehow after Rey defeats him, his brain is flash frozen for centuries? Maybe even eons. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Liv.
Traveling through space like a comet, just his whole brain encased in ice.
And then through, you know, brains get everywhere. Liv ends up eating some of it. So she becomes, so like Palpatine then lives in her brain.
Oh.
And because of his powers, it's not just like normal where it fades away. So it's almost like a man with two brains situation. She's being tempted by the dark side in her own head And the voice of Palpatine is in her head.
Yeah, this is great.
This is very good. This is very dark. I like it a lot.
I don't. I'm not happy for Liv in this situation.
No, yeah. The tags on this fanfic are like, like bad ending,
dark fic exclamation point.
Yeah, dark fic. And then like in the notes, they're like, "Do not read if you don't like dark fics." I've gotten a lot of comments about this.
Oh, there's even one that says DubCon.
Oh my god!
Because
yes.
she is what, kind of being taken
DubCon?
Over.
Yeah. What's DubCon?
Dubious consent.
Oh, dubious consent. No.
Which that is one of the things that fanfic does is they're very they're very conscious of consent and what that means. So there's non-con, which is a whole
that's a whole other thing.
That's
where
a
I'm
whole
like,
other world that you don't shippers dare not tread.
Yeah. But, yeah.
DubCon is like things like someone is controlling your body.
Or like someone's in someone else's body. Or like it's like that kind of thing where it's good that they tag that, but sometimes you have to read through to see if it really is.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of times, especially with powers, it gets very murky.
Yeah.
Which like, and Palpatine has no ethics, so he would do murky shit.
He would.
Oh, just straight up evil shit.
Yeah, he's actually, it turns out he's not, he's like an actual evil character.
He's like one of the worst.
Oh, super. Also it's tagged Voyeur, because he's watching her.
Yeah, he is. It's from his POV.
Through her eyes. So scary. Oh, okay, and then how about this? So in the show, there's like this whole thing where they like mush up a bunch of brains in a factory and put them into Go-Gurt tubes.
Ew, what the F?
So you can eat it. So the idea is you get like so many different brains mixed up together that you don't have visions, you know, like of how people died and stuff like that. It's just like a processed food. Mm-hmm. There's an accident at the, or a mishap, like an Oops All Berries kind of thing at the brain tube factory. And Liv ends up getting a tube that's just Palpatine brain. So she thinks she's on like a non-vision, non-personality brain. And but at the same time, she's got straight uncut Palpatine brain in her system.
Wow.
Super scary. This.
Yeah,
this
hate this,
is definitely
love this.
Like bonkers fanfic. This is crazy cuckoo banana pants fanfic territory, but... It's good.
No, it's really good. It's definitely one of those fics that like you read it and you really enjoy it while you're reading it, but then after it's done, you feel kind of sick.
Yeah, and you close the tab really fast because you're like, I don't want anyone to know that this happened.
Yeah, and even though you're in incognito browser, you scrub your history anyway.
You just get a new
All right, I want to scrub this history so we don't get too deep.
Okay.
Are we ready for another roll? Okay, I will roll column one.
Okay, and then do you want me to roll column two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, column one, I got 78.
Column two, I got 91.
Okay.
Actually, hold up.
All right.
Perfect.
This might be OTP.
This ship is the Phantom of the Opera and Gomez Adams.
I mean, I kind of love it.
I mean, so does this start where like, Gomez is gonna, the Adams are like throwing a party and they're like looking for someone to play music and like the Phantom, you know, like responds to an ad or something and then Gomez is like, yeah, just like come over and like play a couple of songs on the organ and like, you know, we'll see if you're a good fit. And he plays and like Gomez starts singing along.
Yeah,
and then,
I think,
like,
yeah.
He just keeps going.
Yeah, I think what happens is so they put out the ad and then they get like a phone call. And it's like, it's the Phantom and Gomez is like kind of getting ready. He's like getting the house ready for the party.
Yeah.
And so he's like running around while he's on the phone. And he's like, yeah, just come over and play a couple bars of something and like sing. And then he's like looking, he's checking his reflection in the mirror. And then he sees that the Phantom is in the mirror and the Phantom comes out and is like, and it's like, bum, 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 dun, 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 dun.
I love this.
And then he starts singing. And then, yeah, Gomez sings along. And the Phantom is like, I didn't know that someone could have a more angelic voice than Christine. Like, I didn't think I could. I can't forget Christine. I can't. But, like, you're helping me forget for a second.
Well, and here's the thing. Gomez is like, hey, take that mask off a second. And the Phantom does. And Gomez is more attracted to him with the mask off.
Oh, yeah. He's beautiful in Gomez's eyes.
Oh, yeah. I think he goes to grab the mask. And it's like the same thing as what Christine does. You know, Christine goes to grab the mask. And he's like, ah! And then like she pulls it off. So he pulls it off and the Phantom like goes to cover his face. And then Gomez grabs his wrist and stops him from covering his face and says like, you're even more beautiful than I thought or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then
Gomez somehow turns the mask inside out and puts it over the non-scarred half of his face.
Yes!
Oh, Gomez.
Still implying there is something wrong with half of his face. I have like a fun sexual game that them to play where the Phantom kidnaps Morticia and is like running around the mansion with her, and Gomez is chasing them down with a sword, like trying to, quote,
Raul,
you know, rescue Mortician. Yeah. And then when he like catches up to him, they like sword fight and tussle and it all turns into kisses and everybody gets down with it.
I love it.
That's really
very sexy. I love this. This is the best ship we've ever rolled, I think.
Yeah, no, it's really good. No,
okay, guys.
No, you're Teen forgetting. Colin.
Yeah, Hella and Teenage Colin.
Yeah, that was great the best. Ship. That was the best.
OTP.
That was very good too.
Okay.
All right. Kelly, you want to do column A?
I will.
All right.
Okay, interesting. So I got 12, Buffy.
And 18.
Huh.
Starbuck.
Have we shipped this before? We haven't, right?
No, but it's there.
It's
definitely there.
It's there.
They're both like, you don't understand. People are counting on me. No, you don't understand. People don't matter.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is,
do you want to say who it is?
There's very little prelude. Oh, I'm sorry. Starbuck.
I think
Kara
we said Starbuck. Yeah, Kara Thrace from Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So is this before either of them have died? Because this is...
No, it's after!
So they're both back from the dead?
Yeah, that's where Starbuck goes in the finale, after she abandons Leah Dama, the most abandoned character in the history of the story. Just because, like, totally ditched by everyone. Go build a farm, Lee. He doesn't even care about farming.
And then at this point, Buffy's all nihilistic. Nothing matters. She just wants to feel.
This would honestly be more healthy for her than Spike.
I mean, Spike was, like, the most unhealthy acting out. I mean, it was... I still stand on the side of the argument that it was hot. It was hot. It was unhealthy, though.
Yeah, I don't think Buffy and Starbuck like are a forever love.
No,
but I think they find comfort and like they connect with each other because in the places that they're alike.
Well, because they understand each other.
Do you think they? Mm-hmm. Do you think they met when they were in heaven, and that's part of why Buffy was so sad when she had to come back to Earth?
Oh my god, a heaven affair?
Because she...
Okay.
Which one had to, like, okay, so they were there, and they were just kind of talking about their fucked up lives that they had.
Okay, hold up. Okay, I know you said this is not a forever love, but I think this makes it terrible.
Oh my gosh.
So Starbuck is, like, starting to catch feels, and I think both of them are starting to catch feels.
Right.
But they always kind of, like, shut it down before things get too serious. Like they'll like, oh, I have to go like do heaven stuff somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Starbuck is like, I'm just gonna tell her I love her. And they're supposed to hang out that night.
She's like, I love Buffy Summers. Woo!
And Buffy never shows up.
Oh.
Because she's summoned back to Earth?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
Damn you, Willow.
So then Starbuck is like, all right, Buffy went back. Buffy, like, returned to life, but, like, it sucks. So I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to make sure I have an out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Buffy, like, maybe she can see her on Earth and she can see that, like, she hates it and is, like, nihilist and is like, you fuckers pulled me out of heaven. And so Starbuck, when she goes back to the world of living, it's not Earth, I guess, then she has, like, an escape plan. She has some sort of way to, like, go back to the afterlife. Because she just disappears, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe she learned that from watching Buffy.
Oh, can I add the caveat, too, that... So at first though, she doesn't know that Buffy got pulled back to heaven. And so she's like really angry at Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has like, you know, she's, I don't know how, but she's somehow able to see Buffy, and then she sees how sad Buffy is. And then she's like, oh, like she did, maybe she did have feelings for me. And like, this is why she's so sad. But I want like a week of heaven time of her, like not knowing that Buffy is in heaven or went back to Earth.
What? And it can be kind of like, you know, the whole like Battlestar's got the whole theme of like, all of this has happened before, it'll happen again. So maybe Starbucks like in heaven for 1,000 years by our perspective, but because like time is cyclical in a way, you know, she can just like plop back in wherever. So Buffy gets ripped out of heaven before getting to experience that, but Starbuck is like stuck there until she becomes like a higher being with like powers that can do timey stuff.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, maybe. It's
so
sad. Okay.
It's so hot.
What if also maybe like just in the theme of like this will happen again. Part of the thing of heaven that makes it so good usually is that you get to relive everything over and over and over again. But Starbuck has to relive the beginning of her relationship with Buffy, knowing that Buffy's going to be taken away like every, like, I don't know, 10 times.
10 times is reasonable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a sad one.
Sorry.
But I mean, Buffy's got to die eventually, right? Won't they be reunited?
Yeah, I
think it's sad but happy in like the San Junipero kind of way. Like it'll work out eventually, right, guys?
Yeah. Yeah. In one of those off-page ways where we're like, hopefully
someday. Mm-hmm. Do we want to keep rolling chips? Like this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is really fun.
Let's roll some more.
Okay.
So
that would be Colin and Patrick again, right?
Yeah. So
all right.
I'll roll the first list I'll roll the first list.
Okay, good. Because I rolled 12 again, so it would be Buffy.
So I rolled 94.
Whoa.
And I rolled 12, so who's 94?
Okay, this is not cool.
I don't know.
Okay, so
about
we are
this
shipping
guy.
The Babadook with Liz from Roswell.
All right, let's go perfect. Full crack fic for this, right? Because, and I'm going to dig deep in my Roswell knowledge.
Okay.
Back in the day, there were kind of two camps on Liz in the fanfic and in the fandom world. One are people who totally bought into the romance of her. She's the human who falls in love with the alien Max. And it's like Romeo and Juliet, people who totally bought into that. There are other people who just hated her. So
So is she she's one half of the Dreamers? It,
yes,
correct?
Very nice. Yeah, she's the one who gets right. shot in the crash down in the pilot and then is saved by an alien boy. So
gotcha.
I say let's go full crack fic with this. And I'm not a Liz hater, but this is what Liz haters would do. And have Liz fall in love with the Babadook in the same like emotional soulmate. I just want to stare into your eyes and sit and write in my journal about you way that she falls in love with Max.
Okay.
So does that mean that like the Babadook every now and then is like, hey, I have like Babadook, I have like monster things I need to be doing. And she's like, no, we're in love. You love me.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Sometimes the Babadook just wants to be a gigantic bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
she's like, but Liz we can't, like, I want to fly with you. Can I come? This one is less like good, but it could be very funny.
It is like a take that Liz kind
it's
of
a
shit.
Little bit.
It really is like you summed it up well when you said like Liz hater, because like truly for her, like first of all, we all know that that OTP is Babadook and Pennywise. So we already know
that's
then
true.
She's not even number one for Babadook.
No.
And
no.
Yet Babadook is number one for her.
Well, and you know, and I'm saying you know because Patrick knows this. I don't know if Colin, you, and Kelly know this, but a hot alien shows up late in the first season of Roswell, a hot blonde alien who is, whatever, is destined to be with Max.
Yeah, so like
really?
Liz is already, Liz is so, already sort of used to being like the number two, but thinks she's the number one.
Oh,
so I feel like Pennywise, like you. If you're writing this fic, you would just write Pennywise in the test spot.
Yeah.
So yeah. Instead of a hot blonde alien, it's Pennywise shows up, starts killing people around town. And Liz is like, why do you spend so much time with Pennywise?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Babadook's like, Rolandra!
This is so mean to Liz.
Oh, but it's good.
It's good.
Ryan, let's you roll from A list and I'll roll from B list.
Yes. Rolling now. I got 50, which is Ethan Mars from Heavy Rain.
Fuck.
And I got 38, which is Jax from The Meg.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Is Ruby Rose Jax?
Yeah.
Fine.
I think so.
Ship him. Just get rid of Ruby Rose. Stupid ass.
Oh, the Jax hate in this group is it's just so me. Offensive.
Okay, here's the thing. Weirdly, this is going to sound really, really weird, but I feel like the character Jax from The Meg completely fits in with Heavy Rain, which is like weird, like kind of European looking outfits and hair. And like, like, and I love The Meg with all my heart, but like incomprehensible dialogue and like not really any real motivations for any characters. Like, so, okay. Okay. So Ethan Mars is sad, bad divorced dad. He in the game is like from get go is a bad dad. Like his wife comes home with all these groceries. She's ready to bag them. She's like, we have to get ready for our son's birthday party. And like, literally all you do is like stand behind her while she's like doing 100,000 things and ask questions like, did you like, is our son happy? And she's like,
what?
She's like washing vegetables, like putting away shit, like trying to get a cake. You didn't even get, one of the questions is, did you buy our son a birthday present? And like, you woke up late and just walked around the house. That's all you did.
Ethan. Yeah, just opening cabinets to see if there's like items you can pick
and
up inside
not
for an hour.
The
come
cabinets.
On.
Yep. And then like going outside and like staring outside and realizing that the game doesn't want you to go outside, so you just go back inside. So that, and then like one of your sons dies because like you do not know how to watch your kids. Like, this is not at all to blame parents for like their kids not, you know, getting hurt, but at the same time, like, your kid literally runs away because, like, you're trying to buy a balloon from a clown man and in the mall, and you can't find your money in any of your pockets, and your son just leaves. And then he runs across the street, gets hit by a car, and then you become sad, bad, divorced dad. Like, your wife leaves you, your other kid is, like, so distant from you, blah, blah, blah.
And you're like a police detective or something?
You are not. You are just a man.
You're just a man. Okay. Are you the kind of man who could go live on an underwater shark facility?
So you're a sad, bad divorced dad. You're like, I can't like be around this world anymore because there was this whole thing with this serial killer that was like targeting me for my other son. And I cut off one of my fingers to try and save him and blah, 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 blah. And I need to get away from that.
Okay.
So I need to get away from the city and I need to go on this underwater shark study boat thing where you meet Jax. What was Jax's personality?
Hacker.
She was a hacker.
That's right.
She had hacker personality. And she was also Ruby Rose. So she had all of the Ruby Rose-ness.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyone in that movie, personality is a stretch. Archetype, I would say, is the...
Honestly, okay, so her look is, like, pretty similar to the person that, like, he ends up being with in Heavy Rain.
Okay.
So I think maybe he's like, okay, this is kind of complicated because, like, you remind me of the woman that, like, helped me through the last serial killer event that I had to go through. But
at this point, he needs that kind of messy drama, right?
He does.
Like, yeah.
Well, because that's all he has ever had. And like, he's tried regular relationships. Yeah. They don't work. Actually, the relationship that he had with the woman that helped him through the serial killer drama, because like, she was like way too accommodating, way too easygoing, that like there was no drama, so it didn't work. So he had to leave. That's why he went on the submarine shark study boat.
Ooh, okay. So how about this? How about he gets there and he's like very high drama, sad boy, like going to Jax and like everything is terrible and life is so hard. And she's at first is just kind of like blows him off. Like, look, I have hacking to do. And also I'm like super aloof as part of my character trait. So she like dismisses him. But then when the meg attacks start happening and her friends start getting eaten, she like starts to come around to the Ethan Mars sort of perspective of sadness.
And maybe, okay, all the meg is attacking, people are dying, blah, blah, blah. He keeps like waking up in his little cabin in the submarine and like someone leaves like origami on his side desk.
Is there a shark folding origami?
Yes. And he goes up to her and he's like, the origami killer is back. And she's like, well, so she goes in her hacking. She's hacking. She's like, I just cross-referenced beings that are in this area and people that know how to do origami. And I only got one. Mm. She's like, none of the humans know how to do origami on this ship. And then he's like, but then that leaves, and then, poof, the Meg bursts through.
Hold on, the Meg does origami. That's a ship I want to see.
None of the humans know how to do origami.
I don't know how the Meg learned that origami. It doesn't have hands.
Mogi, are you doubting the power of her Croft referencing?
No, you're right. If she's cross-referencing, it's got to be true. I guess now I just want to see a Meg do origami.
I think he... And also, like, paper under
right,
water.
Is it special kind of paper?
Oh. It's tarps.
Mm. So wait,
tarps
is it,
can't origami!
Is it huge origami, or is it, like, nice little small origami?
Oh, yeah. It's, like, one of those ridiculous, like, five-foot teddy bears in the corner of his room, but it's a paper crane.
He wakes up in bed, and he goes to adjust his blankets because he's a little hot, and then he, like, can't really adjust it, and he, like, blinks his eyes, and his room is completely filled with a giant tarp crane, and then he's, like, squished into the corner.
He's like, oh no.
Oh no, what is this? Did you just send us a link to... Ew!
Wait, what?
I'm sorry. DeviantArt. That's cursed.
I think they did a lovely job.
Honestly,
whoever did
this looks
that.
Like
I will
someone
not disparage.
Who fell in love with Jax.
Yeah.
And not in an unrequited way.
Yeah, I don't think Jax feels the same way to him, to be honest.
Yeah, she's got Lori anyway.
Yeah. I think she hooks up with him just because she's bored one time, and then he's like, I'm in love.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, but you know what? We could fix that. We have an excellent device for that. Let's have him be eaten by the Meg.
Yeah, he gets eaten by the
Meg. Yeah, and she cries.
And there you
funeral.
Go. She's off the hook. Yeah, because she is good at crying. We learned that from
him. As he's being eaten by the Meg, does he see that there's like a folded up tarp in its mouth, and he's like, like he puts it together at the very last second?
I think.
Oh, yeah, because he thought Jax made him the origami tarp. And that he's like, that's so sweet of her.
To remind
Wait,
me.
So his final moment more. Is finding out that the woman he loves doesn't actually care about him and that a Meg made him something?
Yeah.
And that he's being reunited with the one who made him the origami.
It would be pretty insane that he would think that means someone loves him because the origami was from like a murderer that was trying to kill his kid.
Guys, I think we need to roll another shit.
We have to.
Okay, wait.
So, Ryan, you from list B and Kelly from list A?
Okay. Whoa. Mm-hmm.
What did you...
Hold on.
What did you get?
Okay, hold on. 60... Wait, I'm list A?
65.
Yeah. Okay, Pepper Potts.
All right.
And JD from Heathers.
Oh...
I don't know. I think it has to be a high school AU, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think so.
Unless he's a zombie, right?
I was thinking more like she's too like grown. When she's a grown up, I don't think she would put up with
The thing is, I could see Gwyneth doing it, like dating a high school
guy. I could see that too, actually.
Oh, come on. Am I wrong? It's like the hottest thing this season is to date a fucking high school
Don't
murderer.
Worry, he's 18. We'll say that. There'll be one line where they're like, he's 18.
Okay, but wait, but this is Pepper.
Yeah, it's Pepper.
This is Pepper, not Gwyneth.
That's why I'm trying to, I want to de-age Pepper.
Okay.
I think putting her like high school, like I think this can be a pre, like we can explain her eventual attraction to Tony Stark this way.
Yeah, he's the origin.
Yes, and we know that JD did like jump around high schools and stuff. So by the time he makes it to Heatherstown, he has like gone to different high schools. So maybe this was one of his short.
This is before, yeah. What was Pepper like in high school? Because she wasn't just like a no-nonsense businesswoman when she was 16.
I think she was shy. That's my hypothesis.
Okay. Okay.
But very smart.
Okay, I just typed Pepper Potts High School, and it auto-completed High School Reunion AU.
Wait, never mind. Maybe this is what I want.
Okay, hold on. Oh, no. High School Reunion fan fiction. School Reunion Chapter 1 in Iron Man fanfic. So maybe...
Did they all go to school together? Does Iron Man go to school with Pepper Potts and with JD?
Yeah. I feel like that.
Yeah, and Banner was there.
Oh, that's so much.
What's his name? Nick Fury was the dean of students, so he's like chaperoning the dance now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what high school AUs for MCU are like. I think,
awesome.
And the like Coulson is like a cool teacher.
Yeah, all the high school AU like, and also like, yeah, they're always like everyone's there.
Yes.
And some of them kind of fit that.
Yeah. And sometimes things get like very like Thor and Loki are brothers, but there is like a weird adoption thing that they try to map like really tightly, but it's very hard to do considering
like magic's not real.
Magic is false.
Yeah.
And Loki's like straight up willing to do evil shit.
Yeah.
Okay, but JD is there.
Mm-hmm.
How nihilistic is it? Is this because like JD, when we meet him, is like he's very romantic, but he also is suicidal
and delusional
and a terrorist. And,
yeah. I think maybe. Okay, so she's the main character, I think.
Yes.
And I think maybe it's one of those things where completely copying Heather's, but I do think that she kind of like is intrigued by him, and maybe she's like trying to find her personality, and she starts being too bad. I think this is a dark fic. This is again dark fic exclamation point. I think she starts being too bad when she is with JD. Mm.
Sure, it like sort of playing off the idea that like when she's with Tony, she's also kind of Tony Stark-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure how to.
It's
maybe she's like at the reunion with Tony and keeps sneaking off to be bad with JD.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
She's there with
Tony. And then like Loki sidles up behind Tony and he's like, you know what she's up to, don't you?
Wait, who is that?
Loki does that.
That was Loki.
That's Loki.
Oh, okay.
And then Loki's like, I know a way you can forget that. And then it becomes a Tony
Loki.
How did
this become that? Stop it. But no, I do like the high screen because I think also like she used to, like she, I like the reveal for the Tony Pepper relationship that Pepper was a badass, if she was a badass in high school.
Yeah, I like that.
She
too.
Smoked. Yeah, like did she like, was a Hellraiser?
Totally.
Because I feel like that would, but that would also turn Tony on.
Yeah, it would.
So I like this. I think we created an AU where this could possibly work.
I
a
love
few
it.
Different ones, because we also have Gwyneth Paltrow.
That one's too much. I don't like that one.
I don't think we like it. We just know it's possible.
Okay, fair enough.
We're just very creative.
Okay, do we want to do one more?
Okay.
Let's.
I have a pitch to go out on. Can we all roll and find the ultimate SDS All-Star double date?
Love it.
Okay.
Okay, great. So do we choose which list we're rolling for? Call. Or
yeah.
Or does every... Do we just do where we also randomize what list we're rolling from? Does that make sense? Like flip a coin?
Sure.
And then...
Yeah.
Why don't we just roll
tails.
A...
Which list just... am I?
Okay.
Or just roll, yeah.
Like a D4. Roll. And then... You know what I mean?
Okay, and if it's evens, column B. If it's odds, column A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. So I got... All right, let me look at my person. Because it won't help the listener for me to say... Okay, I know who I have.
So...
Okay. So, wait, but then what happens if all of us get... Oh, it doesn't matter.
Then you might have... People might go on a double date with themselves.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Mm.
Oh, wait, so God. If it's odd, we do... Column one?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Even column two?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, I got mine. Okay. Ryan, you got yours?
Yep.
Okay. I have mine. Let me see.
Me too.
All right.
Oh.
So, okay. On this date is Vinnie Van Lo from Veronica Mars.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Perfect. And also on this date is Gergi from Disgusting. The Black Cauldron.
Okay.
Also on this date is Lando Calrissian from Star Wars.
Also on this date is Anna from Frozen.
Perfect.
Okay, here's my pitch. Anna meets Lando at like some kind of interplanetary situation.
Sure.
She's kind of charmed. She's not really sure, but she goes out with him anyway because he's really nice. They double date is with Vinny and Gurgle.
Gurgi. But it might as well be Gurgle.
And while on the date, the charm and smarm of Vinny and Lando, they crossed. Like, so they showed up with other people. Right. They leave together.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, so we're leaving Anna and Gurgi?
Well, they'll just hang out for a little while, and then Anna will go home and, you know, put her feet up. And
I mean, I definitely see a world where Vinny goes on a double date and tries to leave with the other
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think Lando would feel bad about that.
Lando's just freewheeling.
I think
I also think
that like Anna spending some time with Gergi will then like then she goes home and she's like, ah, Olaf, you're not so bad.
Yeah.
Or does she set Olaf up with Gergi?
Oh, interesting.
So like they're on a date, but she's like, you know what? I have a friend who would be perfect for you. The two of you guys could go off and have time together away from us.
Oh my God, that's so cursed.
Hey guys,
two relationships.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.